Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Wow. 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 You know, we can connect. We're on part three of Do You Believe in Jesus? When you really believe in Jesus, you trust Him. And you trust the process that He brings you through. This morning we're going to be in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 26. And specifically, we're going to look at a tree. We're going to look at the temple. We're going to look at some teachers. And then we're going to look at the truth. It's one of the most mysterious miracles Jesus ever performed in Mark chapter 11. By the way, we believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. In fact, if you're born again, you are a miracle. No one comes into the kingdom without the miracle of new birth. And your mama and your daddy and all our traditions cannot give us the new birth. The new birth is a gift from heaven to you. And I want to just mention this to all of our young people and children in this house. Are you ready? Just because your parents are saved, that doesn't mean you're saved. It does mean you're under the canopy of grace, but you have to come into the kingdom like everybody else. And many of you already know that preacher's kids can be some of the most Adamic kids, I said Adamic, kids that's ever been known, because I was one. I knew church. Man, I knew how to do church. This message is not about that. So I'm just saying to you, salvation is a miracle. When you see people giving their hearts to Jesus Christ, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's not a church thing. That's a God thing. So we believe in miracles in this house. And we believe in the miracle of salvation and all of the benefits that come from salvation. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Divine healing is the order of the kingdom. So it's also the order of the day. Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 26 is where we're going to be. It's one of the most interesting, perplexing stories I've ever heard and read. But when we begin to get into it, we begin to understand that what Jesus did outside with the fig tree was merely a picture of what was going on the inside. May I make a connector for you this morning? Long before people destroy themselves inwardly, they become destructive outwardly. When you see things beginning to collapse, it's never inside, it's outside first. Come on now. That's a biblical principle. He's about to speak to a fig tree. But then after he finishes with the fig tree, he's going to go into the temple. So from a tree to a temple to teachers and then to ultimately truth. Are you ready this morning? Let's go with our Bibles now to this passage. And I want to break it down verses 12, 13, and 14. The barren tree. You know, when you get to be where some of us are age-wise, you start thinking about ROI, return on investment, about the kingdom. When I get there, I said to my wife, I think it was this morning, I was with her all week, so it could have been any of those days, because we both had some great times together. I said, I don't want to walk into heaven naked. But see, we're so prone to use the natural mind. You're thinking, he's talking about no clothes. No, I'm talking about no harvest. I do not want to enter into the kingdom eternally knowing that the cross was there for me and then that I would bring others to him and no one is coming behind me. Something's wrong with my life. Notice I was speaking of myself. So Jesus is going to use a barren tree to say something to Israel. Listen closely. The next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Wow, he was human. See, everybody likes to approach Jesus because he was God in the flesh, but he had a human nature. For all of you that would like to memorize scripture, start with this verse. Jesus wept. How about that? That's not hard to memorize. So Jesus had hunger pains. Jesus also had emotions. Men? Well, it's not a man thing to cry. Well, obviously, you don't know Jesus. Well, I didn't like the way he said that. Okay, I'll say it again. Obviously, you don't know Jesus. Jesus wept. He broke down and he cried when he saw the condition of Israel. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Let me share this with you real quick. If you're going to walk in the kingdom in this dark world in which we live, your world, your words can make a difference in the world. The words of Jesus made a difference, and so can yours. But what we like to do is put a divider between Jesus and ourselves. But the same spirit that dwelt in Jesus now dwells in you. You can speak like Jesus spoke. Where's he going? Well, how about this? Greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Greater works? He didn't say good works. He didn't say mediocre works. He said greater works. Wow. Have you and I tapped into that? I want you walking out with somewhat of a puzzled concept inside going, how's my harvest doing? Where are those that have found Christ because of me? Where are those who are being discipled because as I was, they now are being discipled? Come on, church. So he went out looking for fruit and he didn't see anything. Do you know that every one of us are to bear fruit? We are not to be barren. We are to be bearing fruit. That means you are to be investing your life, watch this, not just in your family, but in the family of God and then friends in the community and the lost and dying on the streets. Did you get any of that? That's what we're called to do. No, that's the calling of the pastor. Can you show me that in Scripture? I can show you what I just said in Scripture. Every one of you should be mentoring someone in the kingdom. How else can the church thrive after we're gone? Doesn't matter. That's God's deal. No, that's our deal. That's our calling. That's our commission. So this week, if you haven't started, let's start this week asking the Lord, Father, I'm going to trust you. Who would you like for me to start pouring my life into? I'm taking care of my family. I'm doing okay in my work field. But who would you like for me to mentor? Then mentor them. That's what Jesus did, and he spent 3.5 years doing it. Hello? Let's talk about the barren tree and the fruitless tree that Jesus is looking at. He wasn't only looking at it, he was longing for what it carried. Do you know that Jesus is longing for you and I to produce? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds of darkness. So fruitless trees and fruitless deeds go together, and it's the product of darkness. Now, I know that there have been many that have gone further than I believe God really intended us to go. It says there that we are to expose them, but not ridicule people. Expose the deed. Hello? You don't ridicule and make fun and belittle the person walking in darkness, but you expose. Listen, the reason why there's no harvest, the reason why there's no fruit is because have you considered what realm you're working in? There's only two realms, church, light and darkness. There's no other realm. Come on now. Come on now. One more time, have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And the best way to expose darkness is to turn the light on. What does that mean? That doesn't mean I have to shimmy up the pole, turn my light on, and then become vocal as I scream at people walking in darkness. That is incorrect. All you got to do is let your light shine before men so that they can see Christ in you, the hope of glory. That will do a number. People feel uncomfortable. Come on now. People will feel uncomfortable if you're walking, living, and loving like Jesus did. They'll know. They'll know. You don't have to say much. So let's move now away from the fig tree. And I'm hoping and trusting this morning that you're gathering what Jesus just did. It freaked the disciples out. It disturbed them. Remember now, they are his boys. Meaning, if I was talking to an inner city group of gang members, I would say they were his gang. Because see, you've got to make God's word practical, so that it can be understood and people can connect to it. These men belong to Jesus, but they couldn't figure him out. You and I belong to Jesus. Stop trying to figure him out. Woo. Every once in a while, somebody needs to smile, shake, or do something because I know the word is coming forth. But it's not to hurt you or harm you. It is to help you. We'll follow you, Lord, long as we can figure it out. Man, you can't figure Jesus out. You obey him. That's why Bradley sang this morning about trusting. It comes down to trust. Come on now. When my last breath is taken on this side of eternity, my mom and dad aren't going to get me to the other side. Any church I've served in will not get me to the other side. The men that laid hands on me many, many years ago and announced and pronounced and brought me into ordination as a man set apart and called to preach God's word, they're not going to be there to get me across. Watch this. Your campfire is not going to, and all your colleagues in the woods, they're not going to get you there either. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. He will take you to the other side. So trust him now. Glory. If you don't get anything else, trust him. Trust him. Watch this. Trust him in signs, wonders, and miracles. Trust God. Those who trust God walk in the supernatural. Those who trust themselves don't, and they mislead others. All right, so the tree's not going to produce. Man, I don't want him doing that to me. I do not want him to go, you know what? You're not leaving earth and you're not coming home, but you're pretty much going to be barren the rest of your way. Are you serious? Man, I want to produce. I want my life to count. I want people to be impacted by the Christ in me, the hope of glory. Did you hear I didn't say impressed or impacted by me? Impressed and impacted by Christ. That's what we're talking about. So let's go to the temple. Now, it's not just the disciples who are freaking out. Everybody that was religious is about to go, what in the world just happened? Because see, everybody loves Jesus, this soft-spoken, docile, sweet, compassionate Jesus. Well, what about this Jesus? Oh, I know, he had a split personality. He didn't take his medicine. Since I work with students and have for over 30 years here and 10 up in North Carolina. So that means 40 years of hearing kids giving you reasons why they're not doing well today. I'm out of sync. I'm out of balance. Man, I've been out of balance most of my life. Medicine doesn't help me. And worldly counsel doesn't help either. Oh, now I'm back in the book of Psalms. You better be careful where you're taking counsel. Just because they talk, that doesn't mean they have advice. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Just because somebody can talk, that doesn't mean you need to listen. And you shouldn't even be in a house where the man or the woman hasn't been appointed and called by God. And just because they tell you that, no, they have to show you that. Jesus did. He showed. Oh, by the way, I'm going to put it out there again. One of the most incredible short books you could ever read is called Who Is This Man? By John Ortberg. I would encourage anyone to Google that, put it on Kindle. You need to read so you can really understand what Jesus was doing and how he violated all of the norms of the day. The church really doesn't understand who Jesus really was. Then and now. Do you understand that in the Roman Empire, the person who was a slave was not even on the bottom rung of the ladder? They were on the dirt before you get to the ladder. And Jesus taking off, Holy Spirit of God, Jesus taking off his robe and putting a towel around him, knelt down and as a slave washed the disciples' feet. We, the church, do not know Jesus. Not the Bible that we should really know. The figure, Jesus Christ. Whew. It has been so overwhelming that I just have to slow down when I read because it's just so mind-boggling how he just absolutely went against the current. How many love to swim? A few of you? Okay. How many of you enjoy going up the current? Okay, there's a few. I used to love it. I don't know anymore. I mean, things have changed. It's the current. Now, you know that's not true. That's not the current that's changed. Our bodies change. Jesus was constantly swimming up the current. And listen, church, the worst death that you could ever imagine was to be crucified. Whew. No wonder he was in a rage when he walked into the temple. You mean, Father, I'm going to... By the way, he knew before he got here where he was going. He is the second person in the Trinity. Come on, church. I stand up here sometimes as a pastor and other times as an administrator, teacher, and I look at young people and I go, there's no way they can't understand this. It's so simple. Even our young people that are here can understand it. And I want them to really come to terms and with grips to be able to know so they don't get knocked out if they go on to the university level. Because you know in higher education, unless you go to a godly Christian university, they are going to just slam Jesus. But you got to know who he was. You got to know about this person, Jesus. So that when you follow him, you're following the authentic person, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He never walked around in Rome with a crown. Now, if you're thinking, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He didn't hold a night session where people came and honored. Come on, he was a servant. Jesus Christ lived his entire life as a servant. And then he died the most crueling, detestable death anyone could ever receive out of Rome. He took that on so that you and I could be able not to be barren, but bear fruit. Whew. Let's go to the temple. Oh, by the way, my dad taught me this many years ago since he served the Lord for over 60 years. Do you know that there's men and women in the ministry who love to hear themselves preach and teach? I'm over that. I'm just trying to get you the information from God's word, and then you can do something with it. I'm not impressed with me. When I begin to really evaluate and assess this man Jesus, who is this man against my life? Ooh, baby, I got a long way to go. Ooh, I got lots of work to do. Ooh, I've got work to do. Man, and on top of that, he's got work to do on me. And that should bring a big amen from you. But I have good news for you. He's got a lot of work to do on you too. That's why he is the carpenter and we're under construction. Glory. Keep working on us, Lord. Keep working on us, Lord. Well, the disciples were really freaking out about a barren tree. But now he's walking into a barren temple, which was faithless. I really want you to get these notes. I want you to understand the tree had no fruit, but the temple was faithless. Faithless people do not pray until hell meets them. I mean, an experience that's overwhelming. Then all of a sudden, oh God! Yeah, a day late and a dollar short. Come on, church. On reaching Jerusalem, verse 15, please, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. Whoa, driving? Whoa, this is the time of year where the cattle are coming in and being released, right? In this agricultural community. I'm trying to connect to our area. But it won't be long until those cattle are going to be driven back up onto those trucks. Do you understand that Jesus walked into the temple and started driving? This meek and mild Jesus? But you all do understand it's not about the temple anymore. It's about the temple, isn't it? I was at Lancaster yesterday, you know that, and the Spirit of the Lord showed up, and you should know that. God's not impressed with just because of this. He wants to know, will you go and just do the one? Will you do the two? Will you go where they are? And I said to Robert, I said, you know what we need to understand? He said, what's that, Pastor? I said, God doesn't love buildings. God loves people. We love our buildings. God loves the temple. This is the temple. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The only one that should touch me is the Holy Spirit and my wife. There ain't a woman out there in any community has any right to this but her and him. That's it. Done. And all the men should say amen. And all the ladies should go, did you get that, honey? But see, we can flip that because it's the same for the ladies. And for our single teenagers. Your body, if you belong to Christ, your body belongs to Jesus. There's not a boy in Trenton, Chiefland, Bronson, Williston, Dixie County, wherever you want to go, that has any right to put their hand on your body because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You want Jesus to show up and do some driving? Woo! Woo! See, we love this story until we see him driving. Come, hello? Hello? And Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the... Oh my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you think if he really wanted to, he could have come down off that cross? If he really wanted to, they couldn't even nailed him to the cross. He was bad. When he wanted to be bad, he could be bad. I don't mean bad as in like what you're thinking. He was something else. But he was surrendered and submitted to his Father's will. Look, look, look. He's not just driving. Man, he's picking up stuff and tossing it. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written? Oh, now he's bringing scripture. I thought, isn't that amazing? The man of scripture brings scripture. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of robbers. Watch this. It is incredible what God's permitted this ministry to do, but there should be nothing that replaces prayer in this house. Pastor, could you tell us how have you... And you may not be asking this question. You should. How have you withstood 30 years in a closed community? where churches don't get along. I said last Sunday afternoon at Focus Fellowship, I said, until these churches start loving each other, we'll never reach the lost. And you better take that to the bank, ladies and gentlemen. Churches remind me of universities, and pastors remind me of coaches. They recruit, and I dare you to come touch my recruit. Ooh, I love, I know I'm hitting hard right now. Not on you guys. I am coming up against the realm of darkness that has inhabited this region way too long. Why do we need to have more ministries in Levy County when most churches don't even like each other? We aren't reaching anybody. Woo! What's he talking about? I'm talking about barren temples. But proud of their money, proud of their status, proud of this and that. But where's prayer? Where's prayer? The thing that's kept Robin and I together and the thing that's kept this ministry all these years has simply been one thing, prayer. And it's easy to do. Not true. It's the most difficult thing to do. I don't believe that. Well, then what do you think he was doing in the garden? Having a party? Before the grave, before the tomb, before the cross? Man, you know what was going on with Jesus. And what did the boys do? The boys went to sleep. Come on, church. We're close. I'm trying for us to see that before your world crashes inwardly, he's going to do something about the trees on the outside. And if he doesn't get our attention, he'll come in and start talking to us about what's going on in the temple. Buildings don't impress God. We get impressed by buildings. Come on, church. And if they're eternal, then why can't we stay here? Come on, church. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of robbers. Isaiah 31, verse 1, one cross reference. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots, because there are many, and horsemen because they are very strong, but they do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. All I want you to do is to seek the Lord. Let's move on. Still right here in the text. Barren teachers, I'm going to bring this to a close because I'm not trying to overload you. I am trying to help you to understand that we are to walk in the supernatural. When I say I believe in Jesus, signs, wonders, and miracles should follow me, and probably persecution. And I love persecution. Oh, I think it's so much fun. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired. Barren teachers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. Stand up for Jesus and see what happens. Stand up for Jesus and see what happens. The chief priests, who's the ultimate priest, ladies and gentlemen? Their chief priest, he's the high priest. He is the high priest. Come on, church. Come on, church. The chief priests and the teachers of the law, who's the lawgiver? None other than Jesus. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in him bodily. Jesus was fully man and fully God. And began to look for ways to kill him. Watch this. Sounds like Levy County. For they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Yeah, they were going to lose. They were going to lose their constituents. They were going to lose their recruits. We got to do something with Jesus. He's going to change everything in the temple. Now, I don't have to stay and continue to preach because he's talking to me all the time. Listen, listen closely. I want you to listen to this closely. I want you to hear closely what the Holy Spirit is driving for. Signs, wonders, and miracles have been misplaced and have been lodged because we'd rather fight him than join him. You guys got that? Have you got the word this morning? When I say that we believe in Jesus, we're saying you may look at the tree and there's fruit. You may walk into the temple and get to know me, and you're going to find out that all I'm about is Jesus Christ, and that he would be honored and glorified and lives would be changed. Watch this real close. You all ready? We're sitting in the canteen yesterday at Lancaster, and there was a knock on the door. And Robert looks at me and goes, I just kind of motioned like this. And the gentleman walked in and he said, what's this? And I said, it's a mentoring program. I said, we're working one-on-one together, and the Holy Spirit's teaching both of us. You know, the Bible says there's no Gentiles and there's no Jews in the kingdom. It's not, I'm the pastor and he's the prisoner, because we were both prisoners to sin. By the way, sin will make you a prisoner. So he walks in, and Robert picks it up from there, and he goes, hey, dude, what you here for? Because, you know, I'm out of my zone. He's very comfortable there. That's his home for now. Until next. Oh, by the way, it moved up another 30 days. He was going crazy yesterday. I said, man, the river doesn't stop, does it? It just keeps flowing. So I said, hey, dude, what you doing here? He said, well, Chaplain Keys signed me up for this thing called mentoring. And they called me out that I'm supposed to come over here. And then Robert said, man, great, come on in. He said, man, Pastor will be glad to work with both of us. I said, yeah, we'll work together. There's no big eyes in the kingdom. There's just a king, and we're his servants. And so the guy starts walking in, and he goes, so what do y'all study? I said, I mean, sometimes the Holy Spirit just forces things out before your brain can think. Anybody else? Can I get a witness? He just puts stuff out there before your brain can engage, right? Because I could tell by his demeanor, he was looking for a specific kind of response. But I couldn't even think. I said, oh, we're studying God's word. He said, the Bible? I said, yes, sir. Oh, okay. And he walked back over to the canteen door and walked out. If you have been here the entire message, we can play with time and the Bible and the King, but then eventually time will run out. And everything in eternity is based upon, very simple, ready? I receive or reject. Every time you come under the sound of the gospel, not motivational terms and all, under the sound of the gospel, that the word is anointed, you have one or two options: receive the word of the Lord or reject it. That's it. But I am not going to have any barren fruit on my tree. I am not going to have a barren tree. I want him to be able to walk up and go, oh, wow. I didn't think I created it to be white, but man, dude, look at the stuff that I'm so-and-so. Wow, look. Man, I need that. Oh, I need some fruit. Man, I am so proud of Jonathan. Man, there's fruit. Oh, wow. Oh, man. Jenny, Sue, and Bob, man, they've been fruitful and they've been faithful. Man, my hunger is being saturated with fruit. Oh, man, it was worth dying for him. Wow. And he walks around and looks to see. And he sees a tree, and it's got a name on it. And on that name is this beautiful lady. And he looks at the tree and he goes, wow, she's created in my image. And wow, since I joined her as a temple to that short, goofy guy, He's taking good care of that temple. And look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Look at all the fruit on her life. Oh, it's a reflection of my own life. Oh, Robin, I'm so proud of you. I don't know how you've made it with him, but wow. All the fruit. And it's not just for me, but others can come and receive fruit because I see the likeness of my nature in you. And as he's walking through, before he heads in for a morning service, he looks and he goes, oh, wow, I recognize that tree. Well, that's Susie. All these years, 40-some years, serving, helping, working, loving children, putting up with all of that stuff, writing all those IEPs. Look, there's still fruit after all these years. Wow. She must have deep roots. Wow, she's got deep. Look how deep those roots are. Wow, she's grounded in the Word. Oh, and look at her children. Look how they're growing. And oh, the grandchild. Oh, wow. And her husband, there's such a deep hunger in his heart. Oh, man. Wow. I'm so blessed. I can't wait to walk in to see what the temple's going to look like. Look at the trees. I imagine when I get in, there's going to be a place of prayer. And people are going to begin to worship and honor. And there's going to be more trees and more fruit. Wow. And then Jesus begins to walk in. And as he walks in, he looks around and he sees people quietly with their heads bowed and they're interceding and they're praying. Some praying in the Spirit, some praying with their understanding. But they're praying and they're seeking the Lord. And he looks and he comes up near the platform and he goes, well, there's no false teaching going on here. There's sound doctrine. There's times of instruction and there's times of correction and there's times when people are being exhorted, but people are always being encouraged. Wow. I want to place my blessing upon this house. Shall we pray?
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.